our Sunday humor is, of course, about Christmas, and it was the title of this little story is about father like son. And this father comes home from work, and he comes in the house, and there's no lights on. Come to find out that his wife has got a candlelight dinner set. That's why there's no lights on. And they've got their two young little children, maybe 1 or 2 years old, in nice suits. And they sit and they enjoy the dinner. But before he comes, as he comes in the door and he notices all the lights are out, he says, oh, we must not have paid our bill. We must not have paid our gas bill, our electric bill. So they all got a chuckle out of it, and they had the dinner. And a few months later, they go to Christmas Eve service. And, of course, they have a candlelight service, and the church is packed. And there's nothing on, but no lights, but just the candles are lit. And it's silent. You could hear a pin drop. And the family comes in, and they all sit together. And the one little boy taps his dad on the shoulder and says out loud, Dad, did they not pay their electric bill, too? Again, today and the rest of the month, we are here for celebrating and preparing for Advent and the celebration of our birth, the birth of Christ. So the first week, as I said, is for hope, the second for peace, the third for joy, and the fourth is for, of course, love, and then we celebrate the birth of Christ on the fifth Sunday. Now, I want to... You know, when we just sang that song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, how many times did we hear peace in that song? At least twice, right? Maybe three times we heard about peace. And how about the Prince of Peace? There's a song, a Christmas song called The Prince of Peace, and it talks about he is the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And then, O Little Town of Bethlehem, where there's a verse that says, and praises sing to God the King, of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, this morning I brought these with me. And these are Christmas cards that I got last year. And one of them, the first one says, peace and peace on earth. And then on the inside it says, amid all the hustle and the bustle of Christmas, may you be reminded of the miraculous reason we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, it says peace on there. Here's another one that says, love and peace. This one here says, peace on earth. And it says, may this glorious day of our Savior's birth resound with hope and peace on earth. Merry Christmas. And then the last one has got the big letters of peace. And I like what it says, may the peace and joy of the holiday season remain with you always. Now, we hear probably this word, peace, this time of year probably more than we ever hear it throughout the rest of the year, right? So peace in Hebrew is shalom. They say shalom. But if I was to look up the definition of peace, it would be tranquility, calmness, a place where it's quiet, a calming place, or freedom from disturbance or distraction, a place of seclusion. Those are definitions that you might find in a dictionary of what peace is. But the biblical peace is more than just the absence of conflict. It is a taking action to restore a broken situation. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? He took action by coming here, and what did he do? He restored what was broken. All we have to do is take advantage of what he has restored. So, again, it says the biblical peace is more than just an absence of conflict. There's more to a biblical peace than that the world sees it. It is taking action to restore a broken situation. It's more than just a state of inner tranquility. It's a state of wholeness, a state of completeness. The biblical peace is not something that we can create ourselves. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. We all know that, that there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. But peace is part of that, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we all know that, you know, as a child, there's a mystery kind of to Christmas. But really, think about it. There's always that little child in us, no matter how old we get. There's still that little child in us that see Christmas as a mystery. And we can find that mystery in Christmas because the mystery of how God became flesh, not only that, but how he chose to come, the way he chose to come to us. And thirdly, how much he loved us because simply he came and the way he came. I want to share something that as I was getting ready for this message, I ran across something Max Lucado said, and it kind of touched a little bit on last week's, but I like the way Max Lucado says it. He goes, you know, the first Christmas was pretty messy. Messy with crowded inns, traveling families, barnyard animals wanting to sniff the little bundle Jesus wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Messy with questions. And how did Mary get pregnant? What's Joseph supposed to say to his family and his friends? Why is Herod so hell-bent on killing babies? And it was messy because there was no midwife for Mary and there was no bed for Jesus. So this morning I want to ask you, and I'm sure all of us at one time in our life can say, yes, I have, Bonnie. Have you experienced a Christmas where it was kind of messy, where it was hard to get through that particular Christmas season? We all long to have that peace, especially during that time of the year. People get worried over or full of anxiety over gifts and preparations and all these things, and they don't see the reason for the season. They get caught up in the things of the world. They get caught up in, oh, this person is coming in my family and we don't get along. I'm struggling with that. How do I avoid them? Or is there going to be a conflict this time? All these things can make a Christmas a messy Christmas. But that's why Jesus came. That's why we can celebrate the birth of Christ. Because we not only can find our hope, like I said last week, in Jesus, we can find our peace in Jesus. Part of the Christmas message is that Jesus brings us peace. Now, this morning as I was, I want to share this, not getting off the subject a little bit, but Marilyn, I'm thinking it was you the other day, was talking about... weren't you talking about the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something? Mm-hmm. And what was it? Right. She had family coming, mm-hmm. and they were going to go to Veruki's. And she just kept nudging at her. It was like, come on, Marilyn, I'm getting your attention. I want your attention. And finally she thought, I better call. Because it kept popping her back to Veruki's, that thought of Veruki's. And so she finally called Veruki's, and thank goodness she did, because they weren't serving that day. Out of all days, that day they were not open. So they had to make other arrangements. But this morning, that happened to me as I was getting my coat on. And the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, daily devotional, daily devotional. And I thought, huh? Okay, and I'm thinking, did I read something that pertains to my message? So I just opened my phone, and I typed in daily devotional Christmas on there. And what pops up but the story? So I want to share this story this morning. It takes place in Australia, I'm sorry. And it's a place called Shalom. It says here, there's a place called Shalom House where men struggling with addictions go to find help. At Shalom House, their most caring staff members who introduce them to God's Shalom, Hebrew for peace, lives or where lives are crushed under the weight of addictions, drugs, alcohol, gambling, and other destructive behavior, are being transformed by the love of God. As I was reading that, I think that's got to be so hard to overcome some of these things. I mean, some of these people have lived, you know, were raised maybe in an addictive home and became addictive to drugs or alcohol or gambling or whatever. So it wasn't just something that maybe started in their generation, but maybe it started in the generation before them. And I think the only way that you can overcome any addiction like that is simply only by the power of God. Now, I've heard story after story after story where people have, you know, had these issues, and they've fought it for years and tried to overcome it and tried to overcome it. But when they literally just laid the whole thing at the feet of Jesus and said, I cannot do this of myself anymore. And people have prayed over them. And here's a good example. Cruz, when he got prayed over, he was delivered totally of drugs, of alcohol. He walked away from a life of, he was in a gang. He led a gang. But when they prayed over him, he literally just, he was healed of it totally. But then there's times when you life goes on. And these struggles, they try to come back upon you. But that's when you've got to get based and get a foundation in God and find your peace and your hope in Him. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is that kind of peace. You know, we talked about hope last week, but we've got to talk about the peace. Now, Jesus brings not only peace with God, and what I mean by that is, well, let's go to Romans. It says chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the sin that once separated us, because Jesus paid for that price, and he went to the cross for us, and we, by faith, believe that he did that, we can say that we have been set free, that we have Jesus as our Savior. He paid that price. He took our place. That brings us to a relationship with God. Therefore, if we have that relationship with God, he gives us the peace that we need. So, in that verse, when it says Jesus came to give us peace with God, that falls back to the wholeness and completeness. It took, what I said before, it took that biblical peace. It took Jesus taking action to go to the cross, to pay for our sins, to take our place, so that we could receive that peace. When we receive that peace, then we have that wholeness. We have that completeness that we'll never get otherwise. And when we have that wholeness and we have that completeness, like this house, Shalom House, that's what they teach them, that they can find their hope in Christ. They can find their peace in Christ. And when they do that, they can overcome. But it's not by their might. It's by his. So that we brought, you know, Jesus brought to us that relationship so that we could have that peace with God. Now, secondly, Jesus brings a peace to self. Now, you know, as I said, Jesus brings peace to God, peace to self, peace to others, and peace on earth. So secondly, Jesus brings peace to self. Sin not only separates us from God, but sin also causes conflict in us. Our flesh and our spirit are constantly, constantly at war with each other. The flesh wants its way. The spirit wants to do it God's way. There's always that battle going on. But where does that battle start? It starts up here. And it's like, The spirit's saying, no, you want to go this way. And the flesh is saying, no, I want to go this way. This is how I want to do it because it makes me feel so good. You know, it's always there's always going to be a battle there. So when those conflicts come, when the anxiety comes, when the stress comes, especially during Christmas time, when that turmoil comes, when you want things to be perfect for the holidays, or like I said, when you know you're going to see a family member at the holidays that, you know, you're not looking forward to seeing, you know, your hands get a little sweaty and you get a little nervous and you don't know how to act. You get, you know, you go through all these different emotions. But when we have a peace with God, then that follows suit. It's like a domino effect. Then we find peace within ourselves. We don't feel a sense of wholeness and completeness because we're fighting within ourselves. There's that battle going on. But when we have that peace within ourselves, when we find that peace in Christ, then we get that wholeness. We get that completeness. All of us in this room here today, everyone actually in the world, want that kind of peace. So again, Jesus not only brings us peace with God, but he brings us peace with ourselves. You know, last week I talked about Simeon, and in Luke 7:28-31, God fulfills the promise to Simeon because Simeon wanted to what? He wanted to see Jesus before he died. So it says here in Luke 2, verses 29, Simeon took Jesus in his arms to praise God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What is he talking about? He's seen Jesus, and he knows that Jesus is our salvation. He knows that. So he's thanking the Father for that. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Of all people. All people have that opportunity to receive Christ. You know, all of us have something on our bucket list. Some of us might have two things on our bucket list. Some might have 5 or 7 or 10 things. I remember one lady from Henry. One of the things on her bucket list, she lived in Heartland, and she was, I think, 80-some years old. One thing on her bucket list, she wanted to go on one of those air balloons. And her children rented one, brought it over, parked it behind Heartland and Henry, and they loaded her up, and up she went. She got that marked off her bucket list. But to Simeon, he had one thing on his bucket list, and that was what? That he wanted to see the Christ child, the Messiah, before he died. But then, as I read this, remember it says here? It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. See, he was in, a bit of turmoil because he had not experienced. He knows his life is not much longer on this earth. So he's getting frustrated. Maybe he's getting anxious. But he knew that God promised him that. So he found his peace when he saw the promise be fulfilled. So number three here, Jesus brings peace to others. Now, Jesus brings peace between Mary and Joseph. And you say, wait a minute, I didn't know they had an argument. Well, you know, the Christmas story talks about when Joseph first heard that Mary was pregnant, he considered what? Breaking off the engagement, right? And thinking Mary had been unfaithful to him. But in Matthew chapter 1, it says, after he had considered breaking the engagement, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of God, or Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is what? From the Holy Spirit. So even before Jesus was born, even before he was born, he brought peace between Mary and Joseph. So when we experience a turmoil or stress or anxiety in a relationship or in a season in our life, what do we need to do? We need to go to the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus. We need to allow Jesus to bring that peace. And what he does when he brings that peace, he restores, he intervenes, and he reconciles. Maybe a situation, maybe a relationship. But we have to know that Jesus wasn't just sent here to save us, but to bring us a peace that passes all understanding, to give us a hope. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now think about this. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do you think that there was times that maybe when Jesus was on the earth that he had opportunities where he didn't want to follow or rule, you know, have his heart be ruled by peace? Do you think his flesh at times maybe would have wanted its way instead of traveling all over like they did from one town to the next, trusting the Father for their food, for their lodging, for whatever? And all the times that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, were breathing down his neck and trying to get the Romans to put him in prison or, you know, do something to get rid of this guy. Because why? They were jealous of him. They were simply jealous of Jesus. They certainly didn't have peace, did they? But again, it goes back to, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that's what Jesus did. He showed us when he was here how we can walk that out. How? By trusting God. By going to the Father. By spending time with the Father, fellowshipping with the Father, where you come today, you're getting your vessel filled up to overflowing with the Father, with his word. You're getting hope put in you, peace put in you, joy put in you. The word of God is being filled up to overflowing in us today. When we do that, that helps us stay in a place where we allow peace to rule in our heart. Letting the peace of God rule, not our thoughts, not our emotions, not our flesh, not our reasoning, not stress, anxiety, or the things of this, or the cares of this world. It's through the Holy Spirit's transformation work, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives, he gives us that vital element of true and enduring peace. Lastly, number four, Jesus will bring peace on earth. In the Living Translation, Isaiah 2:4, it says, the Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, they won't need these materials to fight war. You can change them to use them for something else, is what this verse is saying. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. And I know maybe some of you are saying, Bonnie, have you been sleeping? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, from one nation to another, there's wars all over this world. Jesus will bring an end to war. It says that. It promises that. It says in Colossians, he will reconcile all things to himself in heaven and earth. Reconcile, restore all nations. So just as with Bethlehem, good came out of the mess. From a mess to a message of hope and peace. Without Jesus being born, there would be no cross. And if there was no cross, there would be no salvation for us. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. And it was his son, through his son, that plan was going to come to pass. Jesus was born, and the cross did happen. And we're gaining from that. But I want you to ask yourself today, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with others? The last one Do we have peace on earth? Absolutely not. Not right now. But it will come. Because God has promised us that. And we have to hold on to that promise. But in the meantime, we have to walk not only in the hope that Simeon had, that hope that one day he would hold the Christ child, but we have to also walk in that peace. And we have to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And it is so hard when we have to look at all the things that are going on in the world today. We're fighting things, not just wars, but we're fighting sickness and so many other things going on in this world. We need each other. We need each other more than we've ever needed each other. But before we can need each other, we have to go to God. And we have to find our peace with God, peace with ourselves. And then the others will all fall in place. And we'll find that peace that we need to be with others and to love each other. So, Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for that peace that rules in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus that as we go through each day, let us do it one day at a time, but as we go through one day at a time, Holy Spirit, stop us. Get our attention like you did with Marilyn. Stop us. Nudge us, Holy Spirit. Remind us of the peace that is provided to all of us so that we can find our completeness, our wholeness in you, and that we can find that peace that passes all understanding. And let this year not be a messy Christmas, but a blessed Christmas. Let it be about you, Father, because it is all about you. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. Thank you that we can today celebrate the birth of your precious Son, Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.